We meet in the presence of God who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God? This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may together live in freedom, justice, and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability, and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting or terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in two world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them. Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storms of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all people, and establish harmony among the nations. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. We sing the supreme sacrifice. O valiant hearts who to your glory came.
Through battle flame, rank one. this service of morning prayer on Remembrance Sunday. We are meeting a few days in advance of Armistice Day, when 100 years ago in London, the cenotaph at Whitehall was unveiled and the unknown warrior was buried in the grounds of Westminster Abbey. Against that background, we remember all who have served and died in two world wars and conflicts past and present. And we also remember those in today's armed services who are very much in the front line in alleviating the challenges posed by the present coronavirus pandemic. We are delighted to have our Bishop, the Right Reverend David MacLeay, with us for his first preachment in Mara Hamlet, and we look forward to his ministry of the word later. And we are also very pleased that his wife Hilary is accompanying him. Beloved in Christ, we have come together to recall the presence of God, the Father of us all, maker and sustainer of all that is, whose love is never withheld and whose mercy never passes away. We remember his faithfulness in times of darkness and despair. We thank him for all who count the service of others greater than the service of self, and who gave their lives that we might live. We rededicate ourselves in his service, that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that his kingdom of peace and joy may fill the hearts of people everywhere. But first, we acknowledge our failure to live as children of one Father in the world entrusted to us, with all its sins and shortcomings, its pride, its selfishness, its greed, its evil divisions and hatreds. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Psalm 46.
Therefore we will not fear, though
Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I shall lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath on them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breath upon these slain, and they shall live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And for that, says the Lord.
The Canticle, Herbs Fortitudinis.
Oh, many the gifts.
children.
The Canticle, Benedictus. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring the families of the nations, divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin, to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
Amen.
O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We recall all servicemen and women, especially from the United Kingdom, who gave their lives in two world wars and other conflicts, each one remembered by and known to God. With them, we remember those who love them in death as in life, their families, their colleagues, and their friends. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world, and grant us grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honour the past, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and hope, now and forever. We pray for all who suffer as a result of war, the injured, disabled, and mentally distressed, for civilian women, children and men whose lives are disfigured by war or terror, the bereaved, all who have lost their livelihood or security, and those whose faith in God has been weakened or destroyed. We also pray for the Royal British Legion and other fellowships of men and women who are dedicated to the relief of those in need. O Christ, our Master and Redeemer, you were wounded for the salvation of all, and your body broken for the peace of the world. Hear us, therefore, as we commend to your care all who have been wounded in body, mind, or spirit, especially in recent conflict, and for whom life will never be the same. Grant them healing of body and mind, strengthening of spirit and confidence, and whatever the future holds for them, the encouragement of good companionship and of understanding love, for your dear sake.
Amen.
We pray for all in positions of responsibility, especially all who bear the burden of political, military, or religious leadership. We pray for the Queen, the Prime Minister and government, as well as the leaders of all countries represented at the United Nations organization. We pray that all church leaders may give voice to the Christian concern for justice and holiness. Almighty God, we pray for those who occupy high office in this and all the nations of the world. Help them to lead wisely and well, to seek the welfare of all the people, and to make their contribution to the stability, well-being, and peace of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We pray for the armed services, the Army, Navy, and Air Force, and those who serve in all ranks of the Police Service of Northern Ireland, the Northern Ireland Prison Service, and the Royal Irish Regiment. We pray for the emergency services everywhere who work in the face of great danger day by day to establish peace and security and the well-being of people. To your care and protection, O Lord of hosts, we commend the men and women of our security forces at home and abroad, as well as all aid, medical and reconstruction workers. Defend them in the hour of danger, strengthen them in the fulfilment of their duty, and enable them to serve their country with loyalty, courage and honour. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We bring before God in penitence the hatreds of our world, the deep divisions of our humanity. We ask for a new understanding, a new resolve, a new obedience to the law of love. We pray for peace. Lord Christ, you are our peace, for by your cross you have broken down the dividing wall of hostility between the nations. By the power of your Spirit, reconcile us to the Father and to our brothers and sisters of every nationality and culture, that we may be no longer strangers to one another, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, for the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and in our blindness we cannot ask, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. The hymn, I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above.
Of my Lord.
He's also aware of the plight of many who were carried off into exile, literally, who became prisoners of war and who were carried off in his day. Yet the message of Ezekiel is one that's rooted in hope. It's one that's rooted in God, and God who makes dead things live. And that's the theme of this chapter, chapter 37. That you and I this morning worship a God who makes dead things live. He's the God of life. He's the God who imparts life. He's the God who gives life. He's the God who invites us into a relationship with him, whereby we can know his life in our lives, and we can live with him and for him throughout all eternity. Ezekiel is a man who clearly knows his God, clearly loves God. And these are days where the church needs to be full of men and women who know God, that we trust in God, that we're dependent upon God, that we're looking to God, that we're exercising believing faith in God. Ezekiel is such a man. He knows that God is holy. He knows that God is powerful. And he's a man who trusts God. He's a man who knows that God is able to do a way beyond anything that he might ask for or think about or even imagine. Now in our day, right here today, you and I find ourselves living through a worldwide pandemic that has already claimed way over a million lives across our world. A pandemic that in the United Kingdom alone is claimed now in around 50,000 people's lives. These are challenging days for you and for me. We also live in a world where there's intolerance, where there's bigotry, where there's sectarianism, where there's racial unrest. It's all over our world. It's in every nation, just about, where people seem to be selfish and they recognize what they don't like about their fellow human being, rather than being enabled to embrace their fellow human being as a brother, as a sister. And so we live in days where there's death around us, where there's destruction around us, and where there's despair around us. And so this chapter has much to say to us by way of hope and encouragement this morning. Because this chapter tells us that God is the life giver, that God makes things new, that God deals with our past and brings forgiveness and mercy and kindness and new life to bear upon our lives. And he does so by breathing life where there's death. He's the breath giver. He's the life giver. We read that about our God, actually go right back to the book of Genesis, where we read in Genesis 2, the Lord God formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then it tells us a man became a living soul. We became those who were made alive, not just physically alive, but made to have a living relationship with God, to enjoy that relationship, to love God and to know God. Man's chief end is to know God and to enjoy him forever. And in this chapter we see that Ezekiel has this vision. It's a vision of death. He's taken into a valley that's full of bones. There's bones everywhere on the surface of the valley, and they're dry bones. We're told that they're very, very dry. It's a picture of death and despair. Death has been around for a while as well. We read, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley that was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Spare. Death. Destruction. That's what Ezekiel looks at. That's what he sees in his vision in the valley. But then God asks Ezekiel a question this morning. I do believe that this question God will be asking his church here, and his church indeed everywhere this morning. And the question is this, verse 3. He said to me, son of man, can these bones
live? Can we be a people who are spiritually alive in a world where there's destruction and death and despair? Can we be a people with a different message? A message of hope, a message of encouragement, a message that's life-giving? Can we ourselves be a people who know this life within us, the life of God living in us, His presence in us, the Holy Spirit indwelling your life and my life? Because that same source of life, that same source of hope, that same source of resurrection that's evident here in these verses in Ezekiel chapter 37 is the same Holy Spirit that's available to you and to me today. The breath of God, the breath of God to bring life to you and to me. Same breath that the resurrected Jesus, when he had been raised from the dead, having suffered on the cross and died and being dead and laid in a tomb, raised to life again. After 3 days he appears to the disciples, and it tells us in John's Gospel, when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He was breathing life, he was breathing blessing, he was breathing hope, he was breathing strength, and he was breathing power, he was breathing the very presence of the life-giving God himself into the lives of his disciples. The same Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church in the book of Acts. We read in verse 8 of chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We will be his witnesses. We would speak of life. We would be life givers. We would be those who would have a message that would be life giving. Peter would say on the same day, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, in the last days it shall be, God declared, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Throughout the history of Christendom, there have been periods where God's Spirit has come upon his church to bring new life, to bring hope where there's despair, to bring strength and to bring courage in the face of trouble and adversity and fear. King George, during the Second World War, called the whole nation to a day of prayer and fasting in the midst of that war. And it was from that point onwards that the direction of the war went in favour in the way that we're able to celebrate today. During the 30 years of mayhem and murder in our own province, there were those who were very, very courageous. People like the Reverend Cecil Kerr, who set up the Christian Renewal Centre in West Trevor, who called and who brought people together from all over Ireland, all over the world, to pray for peace, to pray for blessing in Ireland. Others like Brother David Jardine, who set up the Interdenominational Ministry of Healing. And these men, and many others too, their prayer was simply, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Bring life. Bring hope. Bring about a new day. Instead of a day of death and destruction, lead us into a new day. And especially lead your church and empower your church to be a church that imparts life. Life in all its fullness. And as we continue through these verses in Ezekiel, it was as Ezekiel spoke the word. It was as Ezekiel, as it were, prophesied the word, that these dead bones were brought to life. He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall have life and you shall know that I am the Lord. Our world today, right now, is a world that desperately needs a church that has a message of hope. Our world is a world that desperately needs a church that will preach Christ, that will declare that He is the resurrection and He is the life giver. He's the giver of eternal life, but He's also the one that births new life in us in the here and now. We in our world today need a church that will recognize that all are created by God and for God, and we speak out against racial arrogance or racial pride, that we will be a church that will humbly seek the face of Christ and humbly preach Christ. Ezekiel chose in these verses to be obedient to that call, to open his mouth. And as he opened his mouth, these bones all around him that were dead came to life. We need the church in Ireland, the church in this diocese, the church here, the church in every parish to be a living church. A church that will bring life to its community. A church that will reach the generation for Christ. A church that will bring life where there's been death. That will bring dead things, dead bones to life. We read verses 7 and 8. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. It's the Holy Spirit that goes on to breath and life. We too need to pray for our churches. Come, Holy Spirit, that God would breathe His life into the church, but that God would breathe His life into me and into you, because we are the church. We are the hope of the nation. We are the hope that is placed for our world. And so we read here, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. In other words, the Spirit of God can reach every and any corner of the earth, that there's no community, no individual, not you, not me, not anyone else, that the Spirit of God can bring to life and renew and make live for Him and for His glory and for His purposes. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet. And there's this lovely phrase, an exceeding great army. Would to God that His church in these days, in this nation, would be so revived that we would be the army of God. The army of God in today's world. Bringing life. Proclaiming the gift of salvation. Bringing hope. The hope of resurrection. The hope that dead things come to life. The hope of eternal life. Based on what? Based on the incredible truth that it was Jesus Christ that paid the ultimate sacrifice. It was Christ that paid the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Once and for all on the cross, Christ paid the debt. Christ paid what was owed, so that you and I could be forgiven. So that you and I could be filled with the life-giving Holy Spirit of a life-giving God who raises even dead things to life. Paul captured it in a little verse in Romans 8. He said, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. I suppose a question we should ask ourselves this morning is, does the Holy Spirit live in me? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Are we those who have so trusted in the risen Christ, believed that He died for us on the cross and paid the price for our sin, that we now have received Him, that He lives in us, that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, has made His home in our hearts and in our lives, that we are those, even in a world of sickness and death and destruction and mayhem and disaster, even in such a world, that we are those who are spiritually alive, that Christ lives in us, and that it's the Holy Spirit comes to bring that life to you and to me. Without Christ in our lives, we are dead. And without Christ in our lives, we have no message to proclaim, and we have no hope to offer, and we have no life to share with others. We're spiritually dead without Christ and without hope in this world, without hope in this world. But we are a people of hope because Christ lives in us. Jesus did pay the ultimate sacrifice. He did all that was necessary. He did all that was needed to be done. But He died on the cross in your place and in mine. He paid the price and He took our sin into His own body on the cross. And He paid the ultimate price and the greatest ever sacrifice that was ever paid. The scriptures make that clear, that He died for us, for you and for me. And that nothing else saves us eternally. Only the death of Christ, who rose from the dead and who offers life. Life in all its fullness. So this Remembrance Sunday, as we look back and we can recall all that has been done for us by so many in the past, let us above all remember what Christ did for us on the cross. On this Remembrance Sunday, in this incredible year, 2020, where there's so much death, and fear, and destruction, and disaster, and mayhem in our world, let's invite the Holy Spirit to come, to breathe life again into my life and into your life, and into the life of this church, that we would be salt, and we would be light, and we would be those to impart life to society and indeed to a new generation coming after you and after me. So let's trust in Christ and let's pray, come, Holy Spirit. Let us pray. In a moment, I just would like us to take a moment to be still and to be quiet this morning. Some may have their own memories, and even painful memories. Others may have lots by much by way of fear this morning, depending on what's going on in your own individual life. Others may be feeling really quite uncertain about what the future holds. But in the midst of all of that, Christ comes with nailed, pierced hands. And He says, those who have the Son have life. And so perhaps you want to just recommit your life to Christ this morning. And we'll pray a very simple prayer. And in your heart, just quietly, you might want to pray that prayer with or after Him. Silently and quietly. Lord Jesus Christ,
Thank you for thy ultimate sacrifice, that greatest of all sacrifices, the death that you died on the cross in our place. We are sorry, Lord Jesus, for our sin and shame and failures. We believe this morning that Christ has died, Christ is risen, that Christ will come again, that Christ is the life giver. So we pray, come Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, come and live in our lives by faith. We turn away from sin. We believe in you, Jesus. We own you as our Savior. We pray, Holy Spirit, impart new life to us, that we might bring new life to others. And that in today's world, their bones will live. Grant this, we pray. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, and for the building up of your church and the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Amen. In present circumstances, the collection will not be taken during the singing of the next hymn. Free will offerings may be put in a basket in the church porch. And the loose collection this morning will be in favour of the poppy appeal. The hymn, Hope for the World's Despair.
ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. Will you strive for all that makes for peace?
We will.
Will you seek to heal the wounds of war?
We will.
Will you work for a just future for all humanity?
We will.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer to you the fears in us that have not yet been cast out by love. May we accept the hope you have placed in the hearts of all people and live lives of justice, courage and mercy through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer.
Amen.
Just as we have the blessing, it's been a privilege and a joy to be with you this morning. Apologies that I didn't make it to your harvest, and maybe the rector might invite you to a harvest in a year or two's time. It is great to have been with you this morning. God grant you the living grace to the departed rest, to the Church, the Queen, the Commonwealth, and all people, unity, peace, and concord. And to us and all Christ's servants, life everlasting. To the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those whom you love, with those for whom you pray, this day and always.
Service this Remembrance Sunday draws to a close. May I endorse the Bishop's remarks about the decoration of the church. A great deal of thought and effort has gone into it. We are very grateful to Larry and Christine and to Sally, who were diligently working away here yesterday. But it really is a very pleasing and a very inspiring backdrop to all that has taken place in church here this morning. We are most grateful. Thank you also, Francis, for playing for us. On any such occasion, the music really complements the service. Thank you to Linda and to Hilary for reading. Particular word of thanks to the Bishop. He did promise he would come, and he did come. Maybe not the original date that was in the diary, but we're delighted that you have fulfilled your first preachment here, and that Hilary has been able to join you. And just as a very small token to mark your first visit, Hilary, I'd like to present you this.
Sunday next is the second Sunday before Advent. There will be parish communion here at 12 noon. And those intending to be present, would you please inform either George McCurry or Hilary Edgar. Their contact details are in the parish magazine or in the letter that was posted to parishioners. The processional hymn. O God, our help in ages past.
Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God.
Thanks be to God.